The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, hear this. Hear what Jesus said to the disciples and know that it's spoken to you. The Spirit of truth abides in you. These words that were written to those Easter people are written to us as Easter people. From the first century to the 21st century, it's important that we know that God is empowering us with the Spirit of God. That's what the gospel tells us today. The Spirit of truth that allows you to stand against injustice, to be a light to others, to walk with the suffering, it abides in you. It is in you. But it also says, if you keep my commandments, this is true. So let's stop for a minute and talk about that. It begs the question, well, when does the Spirit of God not abide with us? Because we're not keeping the commandments. Well, Martin Luther taught a long time ago that the Scripture teaches us that some Scripture interprets other Scripture. That we cannot help but use one lens, so to speak, a lens of Scripture to understand and view another part of Scripture. In fact, he said, basically, that's all about how we interpret and understand faith, which, by the way, makes Lutherans impossibly difficult because we are, at least theologically, always questioning. I mean, I think, you know, if all of the denominations of the Christian world were in one class represented by one kid, we would be that one kid that drove the pastor nuts. But that's good. And I love those kids, too. It's good because by having that reality that Scripture interprets Scripture, that we can always say, well, which Scripture should we understand and view first foundationally? It guards against doing what the Pharisees did. I'll call it the Pharisaic tendency of using the law to draw lines in the sand of which neighbors to love, of becoming too self-righteous. It reminds us that Scripture is not a tool to wield, but the Scripture is the living Word of God. The living Word of God that remains a gift of the Spirit today. So today's gospel is a pretty important lens in my own faith. As I hear it, as I hear these words, "I will not leave you orphaned," I realize that this is centering to my faith. This is what I stand on as much as any one piece. I can tell you a story about why for just a moment. You see, this past week, this last Sunday actually, I went to supper with some friends of mine, the Warfords, some of you know them, and we were having a meal at Smashburger and enjoyed ourselves, and afterwards there's a fountain at the Smashburger on Harmony, and the kids were playing in that area, just having a good time, and their youngest is not even 3 years old, I think somewhere in the 2 to 3 range. All of a sudden, we were laughing together, and we looked down, and he's face down on the ground, and we laughed. We said, "What are you doing?" And then we realized something was terribly wrong. And it was the scariest moment that I've had for quite a while. 2-year-old, we pick him up, and the mother, she says, "Oh my God, oh my God!" And she runs with him in his arms. And dad runs afterwards, and they're out of sight. And I realize afterwards, thank God, the emergency room is right across the way. The new emergency room on Harmony. They were over there before you know it. But that brought a point where I was sitting with the 3 other Warford boys, and my two boys, and we got to praying. We got to praying together because we didn't know what else to do. And we didn't know what was happening. And I got to tell you, I was scared and I didn't want to show how scared I was. And so we prayed, God, we want you to make Ezra better. And we also prayed, God, no matter what is happening, we want you to remind us that you are with us, that you are there. See, what we prayed in that very hard, scariest of times was, God, don't leave us orphaned. Help us to know that you are with Ezra no matter what. Well, praise the Lord, Ezra's fine. It turned out he had a fever that spiked from 99 to 104 in a matter of minutes, and that's what little baby boys and girls do with their bodies to tell their parents that that happens. So I think he's fine. He's been checked on, and everything is good. But I brought that up because of the prayer we shared showed that this is so central to our faith. But as we see this rule, this idea, not rule, this idea that I will not leave you orphaned, we also are still caught in these words of, if you keep my commandments. So as I read that, I wonder how to interpret that. And I always return to another text that's very important to me that I shared with you in the children's sermon. This love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. See, I realize the foundationally, when we talk about our Christian faith, it does come down to these things right here. When I hear today's gospel, I think sometimes we hear, keep my commandments, and we think of all these different rules. But we need to remind ourselves that God looked at us, looked at all of us, and said, I love you, and I want you to know how much I love you. And I want you to know how much I hope of you in this world. And if you do these two things, well, we're going to do awesome things together. So here, Matthew 26's line one more time that I mentioned to the children, that all of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Sounds pretty important. But I think the most important thing is to remind yourselves that this is not something from long ago. This is for now. You are the prophets of God today. And any law that we have that does not hang on these two, that it is about loving God or about loving your neighbor, we can question if we're interpreting it right. Yes, when I hear, I will not leave you orphaned, that the Spirit of God is with you, that you should keep my commandments, when I put all of those together, I hear a God who is inviting you into the wondrous work of our world today through the church. I hear a God who has not given you the commandments to break you down, to tell you how you cannot do it, but to help you thrive. I hear a God who knows that we can complicate our faith by getting caught in the law, but I believe in a God who has simply said to us, listen, I love you. I love this world I've created. I love the gifts that you bring into this world. Now go. Go and love your neighbor. Tell them about how much I love them. Let them know that my Spirit invites them into a promise that can overcome brokenness, that walks with you in the midst of it, one that won't leave you when times get tough, one that will be there like it was when Ezra fell to the ground, one that helps us to see that our faith is in a God who loves us so much that he will never leave us, that God will never leave us, even in the times of the darkest times in our lives. So often the witness we hear coming from Christians are not rooted in loving our neighbor. They don't share an image of loving God. See, I don't want a lawless world, but I do want a Christian who thinks, but I do not want a Christian who thinks that laws don't matter, but I do want a Christian who thinks and realizes that these laws are helping our world, that these laws are helping us to love one another. The righteousness of God that we see in Jesus Christ, who loved us to the point of death. Another scripture that I based my faith on, Philippians, who though in the form of God did not exploit that gift, but humbled himself to the point of death. This God in Jesus Christ embodies love. And God has looked at you and said, you know how much you embody love? Do you know the gifts that you have that can serve our world? So one might ask, well, how can I live out my Christian faith tomorrow? It starts by not getting caught in what you can and cannot do. It starts with simply doing those things in the world that can be a gift to God. How about you sign up to serve a meal for the homeless this coming week? Week after Sunday. Four families will be at our church. I hear there are still openings. I know there are still openings. Make a meal. Host a family. Spend the night. We'll show you how. Or how about you join our One Village, One Family group here at the church? We connect with community partners in this. We've helped, now we're on our fifth family, helping them overcome homelessness by walking with them in that critical time period right after they found housing, or helping them to secure housing even. Helping them find that foundational thing so they don't step back into the abyss of homelessness. Or about, how about you simply swing a hammer with us at the Habitat houses this summer? We're building one through Fokolu. Or how about you work with our Vacation Bible School? Only a few weeks away. Show our children the love that you've been given. How about you join our altar guild? Support behind the scenes. Discover what it is to give this gift so humbly that one never is even seen doing it often. The fact is, I could name 100 things right now that we can do either in the church or in the community beyond to live out our Christian faith. But you cannot name one way to stop God from loving you. And that's the truth. And that's the message that we can share with the world. And yes, there are things that hurt community. There are things that we can do that are dangerous to our body, our mind, and our spirit. There are things that we can do that make your voice less able to proclaim it to others. But there is nothing that you can do to separate yourself from the love of God. And there is what God is calling us to. Reminding us that if we keep these two commandments, we can do so many wonderful things in the world because we have so many people who are in those dark places, caught up, mired in the brokenness of our world, that just need to hear that they matter, that they have gifts. And I believe when we proclaim the Spirit of God as this one who walks with us no matter what, we discover more and more what God would have us do with our lives. This God who walks with us, who walks with the broken, who will light the way for us. Amen.